Transmission begins.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
With your host, Gemini.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Gemini Podcast. This week we had the top 11 singing classic Motown songs. First thing I want to mention that J-Lo kind of looked like a raccoon with her eye makeup. And we also got to see the ever fabulous Liv Tyler. She was in the house this evening. If anybody doesn't know, that's Steven Tyler's daughter. Today we also have a special guest with us, Miss Becky. Say hello.
Hello, how you doing, everyone?
Yeah, we're doing good, actually, I hope. Anyhow, first person to take the stage tonight would be Casey Abrams, and he was singing Heard It Through the Grapevine by Marvin Gaye. He has good Motown presence and had a good performance overall, at least I thought. I'm still seeing a lot of, like, gruntiness in his voice. As of last week, we watched him sing Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana, and it wasn't that good of a performance last week, and it continued over to this week. What are your thoughts on Casey?
I didn't think it was his best performance. I think we've heard him do a lot better, but he does have a good Motown voice, I thought.
Yeah, Steve actually said he was the perfect entertainer, and J-Lo says that she thought he was so specific in who he is, while Randy states that he was a definite, true original. Do you have any, like, comments for what the judges said or disagree with anything that they might have said?
I didn't think he did too good this week, and they all had good things to say about him, so I kind of disagree with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, America doesn't see him as not the artist that we want him to be, and I really think he needs to pick his act up. Up next, we had Thea Mejia with Heatwave by Martha and the Vendettas, and, you know, I've said this week after week that if I didn't know her age, I believe she'd be 21, 22 years old. You agree with that?
Yeah, she definitely sings like an adult, not a 16-year-old girl.
Yeah, I'm kind of waiting for the day that her voice shifts and she bombs. I mean, 16, yeah, you know, that's the time where most teens' voices transition, especially for men. You know, going from a screechy to a deeper voice. Do you fear that that might happen to her as well?
No, I don't think so, but I think she needs to just sing more younger kid songs in her age range. Fun songs.
Yeah, I completely agree there. J-Lo had to state that she was scratching the surface and she needs to dig even deeper now. And I believe that remark comes from her singing ballads and more soundtracky kind of music, while Randy states, "We knew you had it in you," and he wants her to push, and push even more. And Steve said that she was taking a step out of the box, and that he was good with it. And, you know, I want to see her push and push more into the lines of maybe not so childish songs, maybe something in the genre of pop.
I think that it was nice to hear her sing something that wasn't a ballad, though, something more upbeat. I think she needs to continue with that and maybe sing some funner songs, I personally think, like Katy Perry or just younger singers. Kesha, maybe.
Maybe Kesha would be a good one, yeah. Up next, taking the stage, was Jacob Lusk singing Marvin Gaye's You're All I Need to Get By. To me, this week, he was pretty sleepy and boring. He just didn't bring a good song choice to the table. I believe he would have did a lot better with maybe I don't even want to know, like, I can't even put the words out there as to what Motown song, maybe a Jackson 5 song. He's got that high-pitched voice that Michael had back in the day, and maybe even doing a Smokey Robinson song would have been better for him. But, he brought a Marvin Gaye to the table. I mean, what do you think of his performance this week?
I totally disagree with you. I think this was one of the best performances that he's given the whole time. I think he didn't use so much of that really high-pitched voice. I mean, he did towards the end, but I think it fit more than it has in the other weeks.
Yeah, Randy said, "Oh my God, dog, it's a true professional." Randy with his dog statements. J-Lo said, "You made us beg, and you moved us." Yeah, she did. They didn't make me beg. And Steve said that he sounded like a baby Luther on stage, and you did it. And with that statement, he was actually brought out of his chair and walked up on stage and gave Jacob a hug and a kiss on the cheek. I mean, that was kind of wild. Anyhow, up next, we had Lauren Alana with the Supremes' "You Keep Me Hanging On." She had a strong start, working the crowd, but it was a little boring for me. I wish she would learn to work the crowd a little bit more. Each week we see more and more out of her, but then we watch her fall into a deeper level of, how would you put it, not working the crowd, but working the crowd. It's almost as if she has them in the beginning and then loses them towards the end.
Well, I didn't think this was one of her best performances. I think she did all right. I think she was kind of middle of the road with everyone, and that she needs to just be more of a performer. I mean, she's got the voice. We all know that. We've heard her sing. And she's got a great voice. She just needs to freaking bring more stage presence to the songs.
Yeah, Randy states that she's got her swagger on high. Yeah, she was looking pretty good that night, but, swagger ain't all about music. That's, at least in my opinion. While J-Lo states, "So much attitude and really good." And Steve stated that she ripped that song another beauty mark. And, well, I've seen performers rip songs beauty marks all the time, and I really don't think that his statement appropriated tonight the best statement that he could have given. Let's put, for instance, James Durbin. He rips songs new beauty marks every week. What's your thoughts on the judges' critique for her this week?
I don't even know what ripping a new beauty mark means. That's a retarded saying. I don't even understand it. And I don't know, they were like so excited about her song. And I don't think that she did that great. I mean, she did just okay to me. It was just kind of blah.
Yeah. Stefano Langone was to take the stage next with Lionel Richie's song, "Hello." He had a very good start, but needs to work on eye control. He needs to learn to keep his eyes open during when he's singing, especially on the chorus and the really strong points of the song. And we've watched him do this week after week, where he closes his eyes and just disconnects from the crowd, disconnects from the music, and just totally disconnects from, 20, 30 million people that are watching this show. Which are worldwide people watching this show. I mean, with satellite now, you can watch worldwide. How did you feel about his performance and his eye control?
I didn't performance personally. I thought it was very weak, and I agree with them. He needs to look at the crowd, and he needs to connect with the crowd, and not just the crowd in the studio, but the crowd at home that's watching. Those are the people that are going to save him or not save him every week, and he needs to connect with them, and he needs to be more open to them.
Yeah, the judges even agreed with just our statements. J-Lo said that he needed to open his eyes more, but it was good otherwise. And Randy stated that he was missing the crowd connection. And Steve felt that he ramped up too soon. And I believe he ramped up too soon in the song as well. And if he just slows down and thinks about the crowd and the people that are supporting him, his performances will be over the top. I mean, he was a wild card, and he's made it this far, you know, and being a wild card really, you know, makes a statement when you're making it through each week, as, you know, we didn't vote for you once, and you could have been off the show, and the judges saved you that one time in the wild card. I mean, I want to see him really get strong. He's one of my favorites in this competition. Just opening his eyes would be better. Haley Reinhart took the stage next with You Really Got a Hold on Me by Smokey Robinson. She's not so great on her vocals this week. And, oh yeah, those sexy legs are not enough to get votes. She was wearing shorts with a nice business top suit this week, and that just really threw me off. I mean, she wears high heels with shorts, business class. I mean, business up top, slut on the bottom? I mean, what is she trying to give off here? What kind of vibe? And how do you see this as a woman on stage? You're a woman.
It was a weird outfit, but to me it doesn't really matter about the outfit. It's more about the singing. And I think that she had the potential to have a really great song, because she has a perfect, like, R&B, Motown, rhythm and blues kind of voice, and I think she could have done a lot better with it. I think it was just okay. I think she's another one that was just in the middle of the road, and she could have done a lot better job, I thought.
Yeah, and Randy stated that she started rough, but the middle, she came roaring back. And J-Lo had to say that she had effortless control over her voice. While Steve said that she didn't look a day over fabulous. I mean, he's even paying attention to the looks. And, you know, I think that she's trying to impress him with these looks, with her looks, rather than, you know, the voice that she could potentially have. But during this time, we actually seen a couple of TV personalities. Well, at least one that I spotted was Gordon Ramsay was in the house. I mean, we're avid fans of Gordon Ramsay. We watch Hell's Kitchen, and we also watch Kitchen Nightmares almost faithfully. I mean, we DVR them, and we never miss an episode. What'd you think about seeing Gordon? I mean, we're big fans.
He didn't seem like the type of person that I would see in the audience of American Idol. I don't see him being interested in that kind of stuff, but maybe I'm wrong. It was just weird to see him there.
Yeah, we all know him for his fuck off and get the fuck out of here and, you know, things like that. Do you think he might have been thinking that when the contestants were on stage? I mean, he does say fuck off all the time.
Maybe he thought they needed to get off the stage if they weren't doing a good job. And also, I thought it was funny that he didn't eat Stefano's mom's food that she cooked for them. That was kind of messed up.
Oh yeah, speaking of the food, Stefano's mom actually came to the mansion and cooked for the 11 contestants, and I guess it was some good food, but according to Gordon, it was just okay. And then we seen Otis Williams, the founder of the Temptations. I mean, he's up there in age now.
And that's the perfect week for him to come on, the Motown week, too, to come and watch it.
Yeah.
He probably knew all those songs that they were singing.
Yeah, he was a part of Motown. Anyhow, up next we had Scotty McCreery singing For Once in My Life by Stevie Wonder. It was the Stevie Wonder version. I mean, there's been quite a few people that have redone this song. And just as I suspected this week, I've been waiting for this week since the beginning of it. It just killed him. He had that country twang in Motown, calling it he gave it the Scotty touch or the country touch. And you just don't do that with classic Motown. It was totally wrong. I mean, I suspect not only me or even you would have thought this, you know, he could have wrecked Motown this bad. I mean, what were your thoughts?
I thought it was a weird arrangement. I thought it didn't sound like a Motown song at all. It just sounded weird. And I would not be surprised if he's in the bottom three this week at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either. Steve said it was beautiful, but a big chance. J-Lo said, you really made it your own. Well, yeah, he did. He has a country twang. And Randy said it was not his strongest performance and he needed to peak sooner. I just believe he needed to not be in that week, period.
Just needed to sing a Motown song and not a country Motown song. No such thing as a country Motown song.
Yeah.
For a good reason.
Yeah, I mean, Motown's Motown. Up next, we had Pia Toscano and All in Love is Fair by Stevie Wonder. Had a boring start for me. Picked up through the course. She has very good range, but no stage presence at all. She's stuck there. No, I mean, I'd like to see her bust out in a robot or something, you know, or just really see her get into a salsa. I mean, she's a Mexican gal, at least I think, or she's Italian or something. I don't know her ethnicity, but she's just boring and getting more boring. She's pretty, but boring, pretty boring. J-Lo says that she kills us with her killer ballads. We don't want to see ballads every week out of her. But she also wants her to own the stage. What's your thoughts?
I think the song was really good. And I think she has an excellent voice. I think she'd be better off singing someone like Celine Dion or Whitney Houston. But I agree with you, she does need to have more stage presence. Move around a little bit, you know? I mean, you're a girl, move your arms or dance around a little bit at least, you know?
Yeah, Randy stated that she was phenomenal, but wants more up-tempo songs. I mean, same with Thea, he gave her that same critique 1 week, and Thea actually, the next week, brought it. While Steve says that she's putting on her sneakers and kicking some ass. Up next, we have Paul McDonald singing Tracks of My Tears by Smokey Robinson. From the start, he sounded a little off-key, and it wasn't a great performance for me. I mean, we've watched him kill a Rod Stewart song with Maggie May, and it was an awesome performance, but I feel like every week he just keeps going downhill.
I think that the pressure is getting to him, and he's kind of fading away instead of, you know, showing his star quality more and more. I think he's one of the best singers that they have on this show this year, and I'm a little disappointed in the way he sounded this week. It just was really flat. It was a boring song, and he can bring so much more. He just needs to get that energy back that he had in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I totally agree there. While J-Lo states that he has the most rounded sounding seasonal performer voice. And Randy states it's a very distinct kind of voice. And the same with Steve. Yeah, I do believe that if we heard him on the radio, we'd quickly be able to distinctively tell who it is. He's got a rasp that none other has. It's almost like Rod Stewart. He was dead on with Rod Stewart. Almost sounded karaoke. If I had closed my eyes, I would have been hearing Rod Stewart. But that's not what we're looking for when we look for musicians and what we want to hear on the radio. You know, his voice matches one certain genre, and that's it. I'd like to see him just like with Scotty Mercury. Some songs are tearing him up just as they are with Paul, and I don't know how far that's going to get him in this competition. But up next we had Naima Ariapo singing Dancing in the Street by Martha and the Vineyards. First thing I want to say is the outfit. Oh my god, she had huge ass bell bottoms on, and she was doing an African dance around the middle of the song, and African dances are really wild, a lot of flailing and stuff, but they had some beautiful drummers up there just drumming their hearts out, and I really got to give it out to them. What was your thoughts on Naima's outfit, her performance, and maybe even the drummer's performances?
I thought the song was a good song for her. I thought it was upbeat. It was nice to see her learn how to dance around and move around and still sing and not lose her tone or her pitch, not get out of breath and sound weird. The dance itself was just weird. She looked like she was having a seizure or something. I don't even know. But the drummers, the African drummers, was really cool. I thought if she took that weird dance out and just maybe went and played with the drummers and, you know, kind of act like she was playing the drums with them, maybe that would have brought more to the performance. Just get rid of that weird dance.
Yeah, and I also noticed she had better control with her breathing while she was dancing tonight as well. And J-Lo said that she was an exciting performer, which, yeah, it was exciting. It was kind of a good song. And Randy stated, finally, that all of Naima showed up. And Steve said, I don't know what to say. It was the E to the Z to the twiddly D. Steve and his weird comments he makes every week just cracks me up. Anyway, to take the stage last but not least, and they always say you save the best for the last. Well, that's exactly what they did with James Durbin singing Living for the City by Stevie Wonder. For a rock voice, it had some good Motown vibe to it, and he has good control while dancing and singing. And it was my favorite of the night, personally. I mean, he was working the crowd, had the crowd involved, had them up dancing, clapping, even singing along. I've watched a couple of them. It looked like they were lip singing, because of course they don't have microphones. But what's your thoughts about James? And I mean, I've said last week, I don't know if you listen to my podcasts, but he is almost like Adam Lambert. And do you want to see another Adam Lambert come to the scene, or do you think Adam Lambert 1 is good enough?
Well, I agree with you. I think this was probably the best performance of the night. He was running all over that stage, yet he had the perfect tone and the perfect pitch to his voice. He really had the crowd going. He involved them in his performance, which is something that a lot of the other people need to learn to do. And I think he has a voice that people would like to hear on the radio. And yeah, you say he's like Adam Lambert, but you know what? Adam Lambert didn't even win, and has made more songs and a lot more popular music than the guy that did win last time, or the last couple of times.
Yeah, and J-Lo states that he is serious business when he gets on stage, and I agree with her there. While Steve says, it takes crazy to make it, and that's what you got. Randy, on the other hand, said he had a rough start, but when you hit the pocket, it was awesome. And, you know, hitting the pocket is like, you know, getting the crowd involved, nailing the notes, having the vibrato there, everything about it. And anyway, we got into the results show the next night, and 30 million votes. And also, it brings us the top 10 tour for the summer, which you can check AmericanIdol.com to find out when the tour is going to be and to find out ticketing information. And from past seasons that I've looked up tickets, they sell out very fast. So you want to make sure that you log on to AmericanIdol.com and check to see when they're going to be in an area near you, and get your tickets fast. These shows are awesome. The top 11 came out with Ain't No Mountain High Enough. Good performance. You know, it was kind of old school. But at the end of it, we watched Stevie Wonder roll out on the stage with his piano and sing Sign, Seal, Delivered. And with that, it was kind of funny because it's Steven Tyler's birthday, and they had a cake and a nice little painting for him there. Special guests were Sugarland and Jennifer Hudson, and Sugarland sang their song Stuck Like Glue, while Jennifer Hudson sang Where You At, which is her new single. And Jennifer Hudson, you know, is a past American Idol. And what are your thoughts about her? You know, she lost a couple of family members to a horrific shooting. Do you think she's overcome all that and really done herself some good? I mean, she is the only idol with an Oscar.
I think she's come a long way. And for someone that didn't even win American Idol, she's come a long way. She's made a couple albums that are really good. And she has found her acting chops. And I think she's done very well for herself. And she looks great. She looks really good. She's lost a lot of weight, probably 50, 80 pounds maybe, and she looks really great.
Yeah, I noticed she was actually looking really good. Anyway, we also seen something kind of funny as the contestants, they showed them kind of wrestling in the house. I guess James Durbin and Paul McDonald are big, avid wrestling fans. So, I mean, naturally, Ryan pulls them up first, you know, to see if they were in the bottom three. And he's like, well, yeah, I got news for y'all. You are not safe. But then, you know, some music, we heard some music. And then the doors open, and here's Hulk Hogan. And he's like, you're not safe from him. Well, Hulk Hogan delivers the news, ultimately, that they are safe, but Ryan Seacrest is not safe. And Hulk did some little crazy wrestling move, and, you know, Ryan acted with it and went jumping into the crowd, and it was kind of hilarious. I thought it was really funny. But anyway, to give you your bottom three this week was actually a crazy bottom three, in my opinion. We had Dia, Stefano, and Casey. I mean, who would have thought Casey or even Stefano would have been in there? I mean, what are your thoughts? Who do you think would have been in the top or the bottom three?
Well, I agree with Stefano. I think he had a really boring performance, and he's been told before to make contact with the crowd and not close his eyes, and he still does it. And I think he deserves to be in the bottom three. But personally, I think that Scotty should have been in the bottom three as well. That was just a really awkward song, and it just sounded weird. And I don't know about the third person. Maybe Naima, but she did do better this week than she has in the past week. So I don't know. That's a hard one for the third one. But I definitely don't think Casey should have been in the bottom three, and I don't really think Tia should have been in the bottom three. She's a really good singer.
Yeah, actually, I would have thought they would have replaced maybe Theo with Naima and Stefano with Haley. I kind of seen Casey going into the bottom three because his last two performances have been just kind of awkward and almost sounds as if he's constipated trying to push out the notes. And you know, it's not like he's not singing from his diaphragm. He's pushing through his nose. But ultimately, we found out that Casey was not the next American Idol. And as everybody knows, that they get to sing for a chance to get a save. And he got about 20 seconds into singing, and the judges just completely stopped him. And it was kind of awkward, and Ryan was like, you know, he's got the right to sing. And they're like, no, and you save. And I've never seen him use a save this close in. I mean, the top 11, usually they save that for the, you know, maybe five or six into it. But now, next week, they're sending two people home. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But they really wanted to keep Casey around. I was shocked. He was shocked. Were you shocked about seeing Casey being sent home?
That was the weirdest thing ever. I would never have thought that he would get sent home. And I'm glad the judges saved him, but I don't know what they're going to do in the next weeks, you know?
Yeah. And, well, that gives us your top 11, not 10, because it was already predetermined that if something like this was to happen, that all 11 would be going on tour. So your tours for this season, the lineup, will be Scotty McCreery, Pia Toscano, Lauren Alana, Paul McDonald, James Durbin, Jacob Lusk, Naima Ariapo, Haley Reinhart, Thea Magia, Stefano Langoni, and Casey Abrams. So, like I said, log on to American Idol, look for the ticket prices and dates, and get your ticket.
That's all, folks.